Hi, and welcome to this, a bit of a discussion podcast this time around on, I guess, why I overall use Apple products. And I guess in particular, the reason why I'm doing this podcast is the fact that most of the time, particularly working from home these days, I seem to be using my Mac more and more. And of course, all my other Apple stuff as well, including my iPhone, iPod Touch, iPad, Apple Watch, HomePod, Apple TV, etc., etc., etc. And I've been asked a few times, particularly at work, why do I keep using the Mac in particular over Windows? And why do I use the iPhone over Android? Why do I use the Apple Watch over the Galaxy Watch? And so forth and so on. So I thought I'm going to actually address quite a few different things about why I use this stuff. I'm not going to compare Mac with Windows, etc. I'm just going to tell you why I use most of our products, and particularly the Mac at the moment. So the first thing that I like about the Mac, and I know Windows 10 can do this now, but I find as a person who's blind, I've got more control over being able to completely reinstall or restore the operating system than I can with Windows. So since I've been using the Mac since 2005, I think I've probably asked for sighted assistance maybe five times compared to my Windows usage, which means every time my machine stops talking to me, I've needed to get sighted assistance to fix it. One of the really cool things about the Mac is the fact, because I'm a pretty good or bad speller, doesn't matter where you're typing on the Mac, wherever you're typing in mail, notes, text edit, pages, etc., etc., you're always getting spell checked. And if I read back stuff in mail, it says misspelt word, and I can always check with the misspelt word, of course, using VoiceOver as well if I need to. So being constantly spell checked is really, really good, particularly when you're doing shopping lists for your wife to stop her laughing at you when you incorrectly spell the word yogurt. The other way I can get spelling, of course, is to use Siri to get the spelling of different words, including my favorite yogurt. Particularly when I'm now working from home and I've got to go somewhere by taxi, I can look up the map information on the Mac and, of course, send it off to my iPhone when I walk out the door. Depending on what I'm doing, sometimes particularly for doing calculations. I know I can do Siri for using calculations, but if I turn on the speech output in the calculator app on the Mac itself, then I've got basically a talking calculator, so I don't have to verbalize myself when using Siri on the Mac. So that's actually quite handy. When I need to look up a dictionary meaning of a word, so rather than asking Siri, again, I can use the dictionary app on the Mac and just get the definition of a word if I need to. Siri is really great for launching applications on the Mac, finding files, and doing all the normal stuff you can do with Siri, including, of course, voice dictation, which is a bit separate from Siri, into the Mac as well. Because Apple's ecosystem is so well integrated, what I find myself doing most of the time is when my iPhone rings, I can use FaceTime to answer it on the Mac. And of course, using FaceTime on the Mac, I can also make outgoing phone calls as well. So that's actually really, really handy. When I plug power in to the Mac, which I believed went for a little while, it will play a chime. So I definitely know it's charging. I don't have to go to a menu or a status menu and check whether my laptop's charging or not. I used to hate in the old days where I used to get to work thinking that I had my Windows laptop plugged in, only to discover that it was plugged in, but the switch wasn't turned on the PowerPoint. So that was always a little bit annoying. Because everybody in my family and extended family use iOS or Mac OS, I tend to use the Messages app on my Mac to send and receive messages, photos, files, all that sort of really cool stuff. So again, I'm staying inside the Apple ecosystem. And speaking of family and extended family, using Find My to either locate my devices, i.e. iPhone, iPod Touch, iPad, Apple Watch, through the Devices tab or check where my family is through the People tab in Find My. Because the Mac comes with its own app store, I find myself most of the time getting apps from that source rather than getting apps from third parties. And of course, that makes me feel a little bit more secure than using third-party software all the time. There is a few exceptions to that. Of course, using the fantastic Rogue Amoeba software. And of course, also the fantastic Twitterific app, which works extremely well with VoiceOver. As I'm an absolutely huge reader, I can use the music app, previously called iTunes, to listen to my 750 or so Audible books. And of course, I can use the Books app to read my, I think it's about 900 books from the Books app as well. When I'm doing a bit of research on my iPhone or iPad and I come across a very interesting article, I love the fact that I can use the universal copy and paste function. So I can copy to the clipboard on my iPhone or my iPad, wander back to my Mac, and of course paste it into whatever document I need to paste, and that comes quite handy. And speaking of that universal copy thing, I absolutely love AirDrop. My wife and I and my boys use AirDrop all the time, particularly if we've found an interesting link, we want to share photos of each other, we want to share files, and of course the AirDrop works absolutely beautifully. If my wife wants to give me a link and I'm sitting on my Mac, it just comes up and I just accept it and off it goes. Really, really nice. As I produce a fair number of instruction documents to get people up and running with different devices, I love the fact that I can use Add to Music, now previously called Add to iTunes, as a spoken track, to convert any document into an audio file. And of course, that comes in quite handy because then the person just takes the audio file and whacks it on their audio device of choice and then listens to the instructions that I've given them via audio. When I do produce stuff in audio format for customers of Vision Australia, I still tend to use the Alex voice synthesizer because I'm pretty sure now it is still the only synthesizer that breathes when it's speaking. And when I first got introduced to Alex back in 2005, he has up to 200 different breathing patterns depending on what the punctuation, etc. is. And that comes across very handy because you're literally listening to somebody speaking and breathing properly when they're reading out a document. When I'm really busy on the Mac, of course, doing lots and lots of research, doing podcasts, doing webinars, doing Zoom meetings, I tend to lose track of time. And one of the nice things about the Mac is that you've got a built-in talking clock. So in System Preferences, of course, and turn on hourly, quarter, half hourly, or three-quarter hourly time reminders. And it just pops up and tells you the current time. Keeping track of appointments and reminders is, of course, quite easy because all that content syncs over from my iPhone, iPad onto the Mac. So I can, of course, check my calendars, check my reminders and the notes, because I've got everything working via iCloud, then my notes that I take on my iPhone or iPad are on my Mac, and the notes that I take on my Mac, of course, appear back on my iPhone or iPad. So that's, again, really, really handy. And quite a few times I'll be, you know, doing some notes, i.e. a shopping list in particular, on my Mac before we go shopping. And then all I really have to do is just basically pick up my iPhone on the way out the door, go to the shopping, and then basically check off the list as we go around the shops. Adjusting the separate volumes of VoiceOver versus the system volume on the Mac is always really, really good. And the fact that I can turn on that tone notification so that when I'm increasing or decreasing the volume on the Mac, I can actually hear what the volume sounds like through the tones going louder or softer. And one thing that's always irritated me about Windows in particular is that if I accidentally or somebody's muted the sound on my Windows computer, it's really hard to get it back. Whereas, of course, on the Mac, it's basically a shortcut key to turn the sound on and off. And, of course, to change the output of VoiceOver or what the system sound is using, I can check on a little checkbox in System Preferences to put the volume control on the status menu or the extras menu, whatever you want to call it. And of course, I can change the sound source there. And of course, I can go into the VoiceOver utility and also tell VoiceOver to use a different sound source as well. When it comes to web browsing, I tend to use a combination of Safari and Chrome. So I tend to use Chrome more with the client management system at work. And I tend to use Safari for general web browsing. And of course, one of the really cool things I like about Safari and web browsing is where you can use the reader article mode or the reader mode. That's when you're reading an article on a web page, like here in Australia, the Sydney Morning Herald. And if I put it in the reader mode, it strips out all the HTML content and allows me to focus on the article rather than having to navigate for all the nonsense on the web page for the HTML type content going on. Now, we all know iTunes has gone, God bless its little soul. And we've also got the music app now. But I've always found in sort of the iTunes world that I always had less issues with iTunes, of course, on the Mac, because that's where it's developed for, as opposed to using iTunes on Windows. Every time there was an update to iTunes on Windows, it used to break something to do with whatever screen reader you were using. So that was always quite irritating. Speaking of music, I do have still about 4 AirPlay speakers. People won't remember about 4 or 5, maybe even 6, 7 years ago now, on this podcast feed, I did a podcast on the AQ Smart speakers, which were the AirPlay speakers, where it had AirPlay. You could also have them as their own AirPlay Wi-Fi network. And they also had quite a nifty 3.5mm adapter in the back of them, so you could plug in a 3.5mm audio cable and just use them as an external speaker. Well, I've also got them still, and it was quite funny because a year or two ago, I was actually thinking of, maybe it was even last year, I was thinking about throwing them out because the rubber on the back of them was actually degrading and it was becoming all sticky and gunky and horrible. And somebody on Twitter, which was absolutely fantastic, I'm sorry, I can't remember your name, suggested that I use alcohol to basically dissolve the rubber stickiness coating at the back. And now these speakers are as good as new, a nice, clean, plastic back and not sticky anymore. So I've still got those. And of course, I've also got my 4 HomePods in the house that, of course, talks to my Mac, my iPhone. And I still do have all my Google Homes and Echoes throughout the house as well. And through some Rogue Amoeba stuff, I can still access the different speakers, not just the HomePod. There's a lot of audio described content running on the TV app to do with movies. Before COVID popped up, when we used to go away and stay anywhere, we used to actually take one of the MacBook Pros, download it with all the TV shows and the movies that the boys wanted to watch. And just before COVID shut down, what we actually started to do in replace of that was using our iPhones as a hotspot and just basically taking an Apple TV and linking it up to the TV set in the room we were staying at and just streaming all our content that way. Sometimes the Wi-Fi network in the hotels and that we were staying in wasn't that fantastic, so we used to find just doing 4G hotspot worked perfectly well. And of course, the fact that you can also use your Mac as a hotspot also comes in quite handy. Do you remember the days, and I haven't done this for a while and I'm assuming it still works, is the fact that when you got an iTunes gift card, and I know this works on my iPhone and it definitely worked at the time on my Mac, but you could simply hold the iTunes gift card up to the camera on the MacBook and that would just basically input the gift card number in automatically. So when you got a $100 iTunes gift card, then that could go straight in the Mac. You didn't have to wait around for somebody excited to read it to you. In Safari in particular, I use Apple Pay to pay for all my online purchases now. Of course, that's linked up to my credit card. When I want to confirm a payment or I want to log into my Mac, I can use the Touch ID on my MacBook Pro. And it's interesting nowadays because I've got several Macs, which some of them have a Touch ID and some of them don't. The ones that don't have a Touch ID, I've set them up so that when I wander up and sit down with my Apple Watch on, of course, it unlocks my Mac automatically because I'm wearing my Apple Watch. And then the other ones that have the Touch ID, I just simply put my finger on the Touch ID. It recognizes my fingerprint and unlocks it, and away we go. So from a security point of view and ease of access, it's great. Using my AirPods across all devices means that I can just leave one pair of earphones on, as it were, and switch between, in particular, my Mac, my iPhone, and my Apple Watch. Sometimes the automatic nature of that doesn't go too well, particularly going from the iPhone to the Mac. But of course, I can access the Bluetooth menu on the status menu or the extras menu and just go and choose my David's AirPods Pro and keep working on my Mac. So it's not a really huge issue. As I still enjoy the occasional game of chess, I love the fact that besides getting some really cool games, which one of them, which is Silver Dollar Saloon, still off the Mac App Store, I can still enjoy a game of chess because the chess app on the Mac is fully accessible with VoiceOver. One of the cool things you can do on a Mac is when you come across any audio file, whether it's an MP3, a WAV file, a DAISY book file, which is basically an MP3 file, I can just press spacebar on it to find out what's in the audio file. I don't have to open up any particular program. I can just press the spacebar. And that's a really handy way to actually be able to listen to an audio file. And I sometimes find what I do is I'll download a DAISY book, for example, off, say, the Vision Australia library down to my Mac and then simply press spacebar on one of the MP3 files just to find out whether I like the narrator or not, before I then go and, you know, shove it over to my iPhone. So you can put on in System Preferences the accessibility menu, which you can quickly go through and then tell what you've got turned on or off as far as accessibility is concerned on your Mac. So that comes in really, really handy. Now, one of the really cool things that the Mac also does, you can get it to read out system messages automatically for you. So when I get a notification popped up, the Mac will read all these system messages out automatically to me. So that comes in really, really handy, and I've just got that turned on all the time. Now, when I talked about using all the different types of speakers, the HomePods, the Google Homes, the Amazon Echoes, I also have a bit of a mishmash of smart devices around my house, some of them which I can use via web pages, such as the Sensibo.com website to control my split system air conditioner. The Home app, of course, is also on my Mac, as it is in my iOS devices, and I can turn on and off all the switches around the house for bathroom heater, bathroom fan, the toy room, family where I'm currently sitting, the boys' electric blanket since it's winter here in Australia, and I can also check the temperature outside because I've got an Eve temperature module outside and, of course, one inside as well. Sometimes when I don't need to do a bit of a sort of a full-blown recording, doing a podcast and that sort of stuff using Amadeus Pro, which is what I'm doing this recording with, the fact that you've got the Voice Memos app built into the Mac comes in quite handy. And I sometimes find what I'll do with customers or people that want me to do a quick audio demo for them so they can take away, and sometimes I'll just run up Voice Memo and then just make the recording for them, then do an airdrop to usually their iPhone, and then they can take it away with them. Don't have to worry about putting stuff on SD cards or USB sticks. Now, funny enough, that I've always found navigating in Finder on the Mac, some ways, a damn sight easier than navigating in Windows. Again, this is what you're used to using. But the fact that I can quickly jump to my home folder, my downloads folder, my documents folder and my applications folder via just straight shortcut keys makes life for me extremely easy. And all the applications that I use all the time are, of course, sitting on my dock. And with VoiceOver, because I can assign a shortcut key to any application or Apple script that I like, then it's no problem for me to launch an application that I use all the time. And speaking of sort of managing files and opening applications in Windows, because I can close one window or multiple windows quickly, and sometimes when I'm working on a document, using what's called Mission Control means that when I bring that up, I can see if apps have got multiple windows open. Because sometimes depending on what I'm doing, I can have sometimes six or seven or more Windows open in the same application and I just forget about it. So being able to pop into Mission Control and see what model windows I've got open is also quite handy. People may not realize this that don't use a Mac, but the voiceover commands that you use on a Bluetooth keyboard with your iOS device, iPhone, iPod Touch or iPad are very similar to what you use on a Mac. And even extend that a little bit further, the gestures you use for voiceover on your iOS stuff is also very similar to the trackpad commander gestures that you use on a MacBook trackpad or the Magic trackpad that, of course, works via Bluetooth on a Mac that doesn't have a trackpad. Speaking of using keyboard commands too, the way the cursor location is, so we know when we use our iPhone, the cursor when you're moving to the right is always to the right after the last letter, punctuation mark or space. And when we move to the left, it's always to the left of the last character, punctuation mark or space. And that's exactly the same way on the Mac. So I don't have to jar my thought processes between using, say, the Mac and the iOS way of doing it and the Windows way of doing it. Now, I know there's a function in the VoiceOver utility that allows you to make VoiceOver work the same way that Windows screen readers do on Windows, but I always prefer the cursor tracking that VoiceOver gives you on iOS and the Mac over the way that Windows does it with Windows screen readers. And it's interesting, speaking a little bit more about navigation, sometimes I forget the many ways that VoiceOver allows you to navigate. So for example, we've got the, you know, the well-known keyboard shortcuts to do with VO or the control and option keys, the fact that you can use your caps lock key, you've got your quick nav key via the cursor keypad, you've got single quick key navigation, you can lock your voiceover keys down, so that's the VO semicolon or control option semicolon command. If you're using a full-size keyboard, of course, you can use the number pad for controlling voiceover completely. You can use the trackpad to navigate with voiceover. So you have all these different ways to basically fit with what you're doing. And being voiceover, you can add as many modification type of things you can to the keyboard, numeric keypad, or the trackpad, depending on what you want to do. Now the sounds that voiceover makes, so we all know this, the sort of the sounds that voiceover makes on iOS. The Mac also does sounds as well. And one of the great sounds that voiceover does on the Mac is when I'm downloading a large file, if I leave the voiceover cursor on the progress bar, it'll basically keep ticking away to me, as in tick, tick, tick sound. So I know that the download's still going. I can just turn the volume up on my Mac and keep listening to the download ticker, as it were. It's interesting that quite a few screen readers are doing this function now. So we know that, and I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying this, that VoiceOver was the first screen reader to invent screen curtains so you could blank the screen. That's now available in a few Windows screen readers. And of course, it's been around for quite a long time, the screen curtain function on the Mac. So again, when I'm working or used to be working on the train going to Sydney, I've always got my screen curtain turned on so that people can't see what I'm doing on my MacBook screen, of course, from a privacy and confidential point of view as well. It's really interesting to see Windows screen readers like Narrator have a built-in basic training function now. So if you're not familiar with the keyboard and how to use basic functions of the screen reader, then both VoiceOver on the Mac and Narrator in Windows will take you through quite a few good screen full worth of information training, so that comes in quite handy. Installing Braille displays on the Mac is a piece of cake because it's literally plug and play. If I just plug in practically any current USB Braille display into my Mac, it'll work straight away. I don't have to worry about silly drivers. And I found if I connect via a Bluetooth connection to a Braille display, it also works pretty much flawlessly. Now, I've always found, and this is particularly JAWS, trying to install a Bluetooth Braille display is a bit of a nightmare on JAWS. And speaking of JAWS, still gets confused about the video card in a modern day computer. Because VoiceOver is part of the operating system, I've never had issues about the VoiceOver system screen reader not working with my Mac. And I don't know if this functionality is still on the Mac these days, but I was always taught from 2005 onwards that the VoiceOver screen reader has basically a built-in heartbeat feature where it's always monitoring itself for stability. And that seems to be still the case today. VoiceOver on the Mac very rarely stops working. Now, I know we still have the dreaded busy stuff going on sometimes when the Mac appears to go off on its own little own self and have a bit of a think for quite a long time sometimes. But overall, VoiceOver is very stable. I don't lose speech for huge amounts of time. The screen reader doesn't fall over. It doesn't complain about things not being properly done, all that sort of stuff. So again, that's where Narrator's moving to as well. Because it's all part of the operating system, it's a lot more stable than running a third-party screen reader like Jaws. So that's a bit of a rambling mishmash of points I wanted to cover in this podcast about why I tend to use the Mac before my other Apple stuff. It wasn't in any particular order. This was just a brain dump, as I said, of things that I just wanted to point out while I use the Mac. And just as a final point, I actually don't use Windows, and I've never used Windows on any of my Macs since 2005 at all. When I use Windows, it's on a Windows computer. So, you know, in the past, or for work, I've used a Toshiba laptop. For testing now, for work, I've got a Surface Pro, but I've never put Windows on a Mac. And I know there's some issues coming up when the Apple Silicon comes out at the end of 2020 about the fact that there may be issues running, in particular, boot camp. So you can't boot your machine into Windows from the Mac. And there may be also issues running virtual machines as well. But I don't have to worry about that sort of stuff because I basically use the Mac all the time. I really only use my Windows computer for doing testing for work or with very specific applications that will only have Windows versions of applications I need to access. Most of the time, which is probably about 99% of the time, it's on my Mac, my iPhone, my iPad, my Apple Watch, and my Apple TV. And I guess I want to say in finishing up is that you can be, depending on what task you need to do, just as productive on a Mac that you can in the Windows environment. Yes, there are still some things that need improvement, but for all my workflows to do with my work, my evaluations, my research, my writing documentation for training, producing audio files, doing podcasting, researching for podcasts, doing my radio program, presenting at conferences, running Zoom video conferencing webinars, all that sort of stuff works perfectly on my Mac. So there we go. And as I say in all my other demos, thank you for listening for this one, and bye for now. Bye.